This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone? It's Bo here with another, well, I guess with the final She-Hulk TV talk, at least of this season. Okay, so I do believe, I'm pretty sure that I said that I was going to eat an episode of this podcast if the leader was not revealed to be behind it all. And I am going to do that because, well, I'm going to do that. But you know, we never specified which leader, you know, I mean, like that's something. Okay. All right. Wow. First of all, let me just say this very clearly. I have really enjoyed this show. Like, from the pilot all the way through to about 10 minutes into this episode, I really have, like, just really dug this show a lot. I've liked the tone. I've liked the fourth wall breaking. I think it's been fun. I think it's kind of, like, an interesting way to look at the universe from a completely different angle. I don't know. It's just been a lot of fun. And especially with everything that we've got right now, like, you know, we've got Andor, which is kind of dark and broody. We've got House of the Dragons, which is very dark and broody. We've got Rings of Power, which is, I don't know, kind of a mixed bag, honestly. But then we've had this, and it's been kind of like light and fun. Like, this has been kind of like, for me anyway, the M&Ms at the popcorn, you know, like little fun extra sweetness that's in the mix and everything else. And so I've really enjoyed She-Hulk. Okay, dictionary.com defines jump the shark as reaching a point at which far-fetched events are included merely for the sake of novelty, indicative of a decline in quality. Ladies and gentlemen, mark it, October 13th, 2022, the MCU has officially jumped the shark. I'm sorry, look, it was funny, don't get me wrong, that whole bit with Kevin was funny, but would have been really funny as like a promo for this series as opposed to the season finale. All right, so the fight's going down, right? And like, she starts talking about like, what is going on? What, this is ridiculous. Who thought this was gonna happen? And I was like, okay, yeah, it's funny, Jen. Haha, okay, like maybe you're doing the fourth wall thing a little too much here. Let's maybe focus on what the story and explanation as to what's going on. And then she literally busts out of the TV, I guess her new superpower is breaking the fourth wall. It wasn't just a fun gimmick. Like, this is literally, she's Wanda. She can rewrite reality. But instead of chaos magic, she literally breaks the fourth wall. Which I mean, like, you know, it's a very, I'll put it this way. It is a very like Deadpool-y way to do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Deadpool has literally used his own thought bubbles to like beat up bad guys. So this is a thing that can happen and does happen, you know, with kind of a fourth wall breaking character. That being said, you know, so she busts out of Disney Plus and goes into Avengers Assembled, where she goes into the Disney headquarters. And like, you know, remember, I'm sitting here, I'm watching this with my wife. She's like, wow, they're really doubling down on this. I'm like, that feels kind of like they're tripling down on it, honestly. And so she goes through into the Disney offices because she wants to meet with Kevin. Because Kevin Feige, but she wants to meet with Kevin. And as she's going through, okay, this is something that kind of bothered me a little bit. Like, she starts beating up Disney security guards. Like, they just work for Disney. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Those are not like SHIELD agents. That's not Department of Damage Control. That's like some dude probably making minimum wage. I can't imagine that Disney just like pays its security officers extremely well. I don't know. I've never had that job before, but like, she like busted one guy into the wall and used his face into the scanner. I mean, look, if it's Fast and the Furious, that's one thing. But again, these are kind of like low budget, you know, security officers at Disney. I thought that was a little rough. You know, so that kind of brought me out of it too. Because I'm like, okay, wait. So are we supposed to look at this as happening as real? Or is this a bit that's being stretched? Because if it's a bit that's being stretched, fine. But like, there's just there was weird parameters on trying to figure out, okay, what exactly is going on? So she goes, she talks to Kevin. It's not even a meta commentary. It's just a commentary at this point, like about the MCU, about the show, about the hot takes about the show, like a lot. It just got real, real preachy and real, real away from what was like. This is kind of part, like, again, I've really actually enjoyed the show, and I've actually enjoyed the meta commentary throughout the show as well. I thought that the meta commentary has been good, but when you go so far that the meta commentary is no longer meta commentary, or that the meta commentary actually now has driven the show to the, or the story to the point where that's literally like the fight, you know, quote unquote, the fight is literally the meta commentary. Like, this was my same problem with the last Matrix movie. Like, rather than critique storytelling, just tell a good story. You know what I mean? Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, oh, the industrial movie machine, it's all the same stuff and everything else. Great, fine. Just tell, don't preach about why you don't like that. Actively tell a good story. And by the way, critiquing and saying that all that other stuff is bad is not a good story, and that is not a good product. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to like make something unique, make something wholly different, and that's awesome. The critiquing, if I may, is our job. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't want, you know, if there's things you want to comment on, go start a podcast, go start a YouTube channel. Don't do it in the television show. Just tell a good story. So anyway, I didn't appreciate that whole that, which kind of I felt like robbed us from a lot of the intrigue that was going on. I actually really liked that, you know, there was a kind of narrative thrust for Jen's character, which was about coming to terms and accepting herself. Go back and listen to this podcast. I comment on how I appreciate that about the show. That was great. But I've also really enjoyed the way that they've interwoven this kind of like, you know, the blood theme and everything else. I, too, as with Jen, thought that as when everybody was popping out of the woodwork at the very tail end, it seemed a little forced. But don't make it dumb just to comment on how it's dumb. You know what I mean? Like, there's a perfectly good way to, like, land the plane here. And I don't know. I'm crazy disappointed because I was really enjoying the show. I mean, I could talk about how Daredevil in the middle of the day literally falling out of the sky because I guess Jen talked to God and that's how it happened. That's frustrating and confusing. Because it's also frustrating and confusing, like, is Scar actually canon, or was that just like part of this like weird side plot meta fantasy that Jen is now living in? You know, like, what is real? Like, the only time I've been more disappointed, I think, by like a season finale of a show was Game of Thrones. Like, this is bad, but this isn't Game of Thrones level bad. I don't mean to imply that. It's, to me, this is very much the MCU jumping the shark. Like, that, like, literally, I got done with it. I was like, what was this? Because it was funny. I laughed at the commentary. I laughed at the Kevin joke, but it felt very off and wrong and weird. And also, these are short episodes. Like, so much of this, I was like, we're really stretching out the bit. And then it's like, oh no, this isn't the bit. This is supposed to be the climax. Ooh. Oh man. All right. Sorry. I don't like jumping on a podcast and griping. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't like something, then I typically don't even talk about it. But since this is the finale of the series, and a series that I was like really going hard for at the beginning of the show, I was like, oh, look, I am ready for She-Hulk. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be the lawyer comedy and everything else. We're going to see some cool cases. How cool would it be to see, you know, Jen going up against Daredevil and everything? We got like all of that. This show as a whole has been really great. But man, oh man, this is really disappointing, y'all. It really is. It's really disappointing. And I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but when meta commentary devolves into just pure commentary, you're no longer telling a story. You're no longer it's no longer a television show. It's no longer a movie. You're now just become another critic on the internet. And I say that as someone who is a critic on the internet. And I think part of the reason why it's additionally frustrating is because you, whoever you are, whether you're the writer, writing team, whether you're the showrunner, whoever, and I'm not talking just about She-Hulk now. This is really more of, because it's broader. Because again, The Matrix did the exact same thing for like half that movie. It's so frustrating. Like, you have a platform to tell a story to a mass audience. Do you know, like, that is super rare. The rest of the world doesn't have that. And there are so many great storytellers out there. We don't have that. You literally have the largest audience in the world that you can actually present a story to and tell a story. And I'm not saying don't include meta commentary. Do it. There's no wrong with having a point and a purpose. That's a good thing. But when it just becomes commentary, then you're just like the rest of us and who don't have that platform. So what do we end up doing? We end up talking about your, like, so now I feel like I'm talking about another podcast, honestly, and like in the way in which, you know, this is now like, you know, because even to critique this episode, there's very like little episode to critique here. I'd just be critiquing their take on the MCU, and it'd be like, you know, so ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the most expensive YouTube video and the most expensive, like, you know, internet hot take ever in this finale of She-Hulk. Oh man, I am so disappointed and frustrated. Okay, well, look, it is what it is. Maybe y'all liked it. I don't know. You know, sometimes y'all like things I don't like. Sometimes I like things, but a lot of times I like things y'all don't like. I don't know. It just all over the map. It'll be interesting to see how people react to it. All right, that's it. All right, stop talking about it, Bo. Bye, everybody. Yeah, I'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.